Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Tonight, Chief Justice takes her case directly to the media, explaining for the first time why she expedited the hearing of the controversial case against the approval of ministerial nominees following criticism from the opposition NDC.
We were going to go on Easter break, and the Attorney General wrote and said, this is a matter of governance. So could the court issue hearing notice for the case to be heard? And so hearing notices were issued. Attorney General had filed his affidavit in opposition, so nothing should stop the hearing. It gave the impression that the applicant was not interested in being served.
We have reactions from the NDC, plus tell you what her response was when she was asked if the same principle will be applied to another application by the Speaker to expedite hearing of cases filed against the anti-gay bill. Plus, later, more from the Chief Justice's media engagement, where she is breaking from the past and now directly engaging the public on a wide range of issues, entrenching judicial accountability to the people.
As soon as the case was filed, the Attorney General filed his response.
The Chief Justice Gertrude Torkornoo is tonight taking her case directly to the media and has been explaining for the first time why she expedited the hearing of the controversial case against the approval of ministerial nominees. She had been criticized by the main opposition NDC, who had accused her of bias following the expedited hearing at the time when another high-profile case that had been used as an excuse by the president not to sign the anti-gay bill into law was still yet to be heard. At an engagement with journalists earlier today, the Chief Justice explained that the Attorney General's request for a speedy hearing was granted because a case of the NDC MP for South Dai, Roxing Nelson Dafiamekpo, against the President's ministers had major implications for the running of the government.
As soon as the case was filed, the Attorney General filed his response. He filed his affidavit in opposition. So the case was ripe for hearing. We were going to go on Easter break, and the Attorney General wrote and said, this is a matter of governance. So could the court issue hearing notice for the case to be heard? And the court was going to sit on the Wednesday. And so hearing notices were issued, so that the applicant who filed the case himself and who should be interested in his case himself will come to court. And all the different, the two other respondents will also come to court. So the bailiff went and served all of them with hearing notices. And when the court sat on that Wednesday, it formed part of our list, because hearing notices had been served on everybody and the respondents had filed their affidavits in opposition. At least the Attorney General had. So when the case was called, the affidavits of service were on the docket. We knew that the applicant had been served, Speaker had been served, Attorney General had been served, Speaker's lawyer was in court, Attorney General was in court. Attorney General had filed his affidavit in opposition, so nothing should stop the hearing. It gave the impression that the applicant was not interested in being served. So I called for the bailiff and put him in the box and said, did you swear to this? Read it to everybody. He read it to everybody, allowed the lawyers to question him on his affidavit, and they were all satisfied that there was service. Then the next question was, Speaker, you haven't filed an affidavit in opposition. What is your position? And the records of the court are available. Speakers had an objection to the application and asked that they should be dismissed. And the Attorney General asked that they should be dismissed. And so we dealt with the application on its merit and ruled on it. So I have spoken to the generality of the arrangement. Now, if you have been going to the Supreme Court covering proceedings, you'll discover that we hardly adjourn cases now because of this. It's working well. By the time we sit, virtually every process that has been fixed for a date for that day will be dealt with.
Chief Justice Gertrude Tokunu. Well, my colleague Kweku Asante was there at this engagement and joins us on the line right now. Kweku, you also asked specifically about the petition from the Speaker, also calling for expedited hearing of the cases filed against the controversial anti-gay bill. Did you get a response to this?
Well, Evans, like you said, I asked two questions of the Chief Justice. First, the rationale for accepting the request of the Attorney General to expedite the hearing. She did, in fact, provide what was a very elaborate answer on why exactly she had to do that. And that is the sound you just played, making the case for why she thought that there was urgent government business on the line, for which reason that case ought to be expedited. However, the second leg of my question, which was, the Speaker of Parliament has also written through his lawyers, Thaddeus Sori and Sori at Law, through the registrar of the Supreme Court, asking for similar treatment for two cases filed by one Richard Alaskar, a lawyer and media practitioner, and another academic, Dr. Amanda Odoi, seeking to injunct the president from receiving the anti-LGBTQ bill. That question also went to the Chief Justice, but she offered not to answer that. Of course, she did not give any reason to that. She did not even speak about it at all. She went on to deal with other issues. And as far as we are concerned, we tried, even after the media engagement had concluded, to try and get a word, but the security around the Chief Justice is tight. But within the open space that the media engagement was, I did specifically ask whether the same treatment will be meted out to the case having been filed by Amanda Odoi and Richard Alaskar, for which reason the Speaker of Parliament is calling for an expedited hearing. There was no response from the Chief Justice.
Quickly stay with me because there are other important matters that came up in this engagement with the Chief Justice. I want to right now bring in the Director of Legal Affairs of the opposition NDC, Eduji Tamaklo, who joins us right now. Mr. Tamaklo, thanks for time here on Top Story.
Evans, good evening. Good evening to your viewers and listeners.
I believe you may have heard the Chief Justice explain why she expedited that particular hearing. Are you satisfied with what you've heard today?
You know, last week, as you recall, we had this engagement. It doesn't resolve the problem.
Why doesn't it?
You see, on the day that the court heard this matter, if you are aware, when Roxine Eche Tafiamako filed the injunction application, there was a cover letter signed by the registrar of the Supreme Court. And this is what it reads. It's dated 21st March 2024. It reads, Dear Sir, Madam, fixing of date for hearing.
What?
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Generally, it says, please take note that a date will be fixed for the hearing of the above stated application, with hearing notices for the respondent by the registrar upon request 14 days after the service of the application on the respondents, counting on your usual cooperation. Thank you. This came from the registry of the court. Now, I understand from the engagement today that notwithstanding this notice, the leadership, the Chief Justice, having received the letter from the Attorney General, considered the matters raised by the Attorney General that government business will be affected. Do I understand that in respect of the Family Value Bill, there is no such agency or effect on the states? Is that the understanding? Because,
well,
is it Evans?
Well, that subject is the subject of an application before Hersh. We haven't heard.
No, at that time there was no. We are dealing with what happened then. We didn't have the benefit that Mr. Tagliosori was going to write a letter to the CJ. Now, listen, on the 18th day of March 2024, Nana Bedie Tuasant put this letter to the Speaker of Parliament or the Clerk of Parliament. And this is what he says, that the Attorney General has by a letter dated 18th March 2024 informed the President that he has been duly served with two applications and has advised the President not to take any step in relation to the bill on the matters raised by the suit as determined by the Supreme Court. Now it proceeds that the Attorney General, right, has also advised. So this is a situation where, right, the Attorney General had informed the President that don't assent this bill duly passed by 275 MPs because there are pending matters before the court. These suits were filed earlier in time, which is Sky's suit is dated 7th March 2024. H.A. Roxin Dafiamoko's suit is after the 20th of March.
Yeah, you canvassed these points last week, and the explanation was, and the Chief Justice clarified this, that in the case of the Dafiamoko and Co., the Attorney General specifically wrote requesting for an expedited hearing. We haven't seen that at the time yet until we saw the letter from the Speaker. Doesn't that explain that, why that decision was not taken on that first case?
No, so we are saying that if the two suits are similarly placed, and remember that this whole business of the Speaker, remember that the Speaker was giving a response to the 18th March 2024 letter from the Secretary to the President. That was when at the two end, he then gave the indication whether the President can even instruct Parliament to cease and desist. So you do not take these matters in isolation. It is the Family Value Bill that has cascaded into this current conversation. And so we were saying that, in one respect, the Attorney General is advising the President that don't assent because two suits have been filed and have been duly served. In another suit, the Speaker says, I have also been served with this process, and for that matter, I'm adjourning proceedings. Now, if the question is about the ministerial, and from the CJ says we're going to the Easter break, and for that matter, they needed the matter ahead. We all do appreciate that once Parliament is adjourned, a court cannot force Parliament to sit, that there's an order directing Parliament to sit. Now,
Hello, Luji.
Can
you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can now. We lost you briefly.
So I was saying that, as you are aware, the court cannot make an order directing Parliament to sit to consider the approval of the ministers. You do know that. So from Wednesday, when the court dismiss the injunction application. It's a week now. Has Agnes been recalled? No. So if the decision was that, well, because we're going on Easter break, the court needed to expedite a decision on the issue of the ministerial appointment, what has been the effect? The process to get parliament to sit when it adjourns is to get a certain number of MPs to do A, B, C, D. And so the fact that we're going to Easter break and therefore there was a need for expedited hearing. I mean, for as far as the letter from the NDC or the statement from the NDC is concerned, this explanation doesn't solve the problem.
It doesn't. I mean, even when you hear the Chief Justice explain that in the case of the Roxanne Dafyamekw, we had implications on the running of government. I mean, that certainly is not the case in the Richard Sky case, is it?
I do not know when you say it has implications for the running.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well,
hello.
Ministries will need substantive ministers to work.
As we speak, Kwejopo Nkrumah is all over the place working, correct?
Yes.
Amin Anta is still our finance minister working.
Well, we had ministries that didn't have substantive ministers. For example, the tourism ministry, for example, had a new minister who needed to be approved by parliament.
In fact, even prior to this, I have seen some of the ministers already doing press conferences.
Yeah, but that, you know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about substantive matters of signing contracts and getting projects on the road. If a minister is not sworn in, he lacks the authority.
No, per our constitutional arrangement, one, there is no substantive minister. A substantive minister in another ministry holds the fault. So if it's about governance, I do not see where this matter is coming from.
Bottom line, this explanation today by the Chief Justice still does not cut it for the NDC.
As far as the concerns raised in our press release signed by the General Secretary of the party is concerned, I do not see how this explanation resolved the matter.
But do you
all we were asking for is that the two matters were similarly placed and ought to have been adjudicated, at least if not for anything, the first in time.
I mean, she was asked a question today about the speaker's application and what we're going to possibly likely see in terms of the application of the principle. There wasn't an answer to that.
No, but if you recall, on the day the Supreme Court decided this matter, your own reporter, Kwikwa Asante, asked the Attorney General that you said you applied by way of letter to the CJ. Right. Are you going to do the same thing relative to the Richard Sky matter? He said he is not the plaintiff. That's what the answer he gave. Correct. Was he the plaintiff in the Roxanne matter?
Yeah, but I'm asking this specifically about the Chief Justice now. Kwikwa Asante again.
No, I mean, these are matters.
That was last week. I'm asking of today. I mean, I'm asking you whether would you read anything into that we haven't heard from the Chief Justice yet. Today she was asked about it. That answer wasn't provided. She was silent on it. Do you read it?
Obviously, she might have a reason why she was silent on it. Maybe she's considering the letter from Mr. Sorry.
And that there is the director of legal for the NDC. speaking to us on what happened today when the Chief Justice addressed his controversial issues around the expedited hearing of that Roxanne Dafiamepo case against the ministerial nominees, Godwin Edijutamakul. Thank you very much. But I want to stay with this subject a while longer, and Kweku is still with me. Kweku, at this same event, the CJ appears now to be speaking to journalists regularly. From what I understand, this is not a one-off, is it?
Not at all, Evans. In fact, this is the second time this year that the Chief Justice is speaking publicly to journalists. Sorry. When she spoke to us, members of the Judicial Press Corps, she gave an indication that she was going to meet us regularly. And so indeed today, she did meet us, take questions. I can remember for so long, this is the first time that a Chief Justice is sitting in front of journalists, giving them sort of an update and taking questions. And Evans, not only is he going to speak to journalists regularly, he's announcing that on Monday, he's going to hold a national event, and as new Chief Justice, he's going to tell the Ghanaian public, which is, in her own words, that justice emanates from what her vision is as Chief Justice.
Articulation of my vision and how I believe, the steps I believe can assist all of us to bring the justice that we want to the people of Ghana. And you may say, why do I need all of you? Why do I need everybody to join me? The Constitution articulates it properly, which is that justice emanates from the people of Ghana. So justice is actually a product that comes out of the people of Ghana, which is that law is made by the people of Ghana. It is only administered by the judiciary. We are given the constitutional mandate to administer it. So we are accountable back to you who gave us a law to administer. And that is why if we are having trouble doing it efficiently and to your expectation, it is meet and appropriate that we bring to you programs that you can assist us with in doing the work that we are required to do. So on Monday at the International Central International Conference Center, we'll have that launching of my vision and an outreach to the entire nation to assist in doing, bringing justice to you the way we should.
And we're talking about her vision, though. One thing that she's implemented is this shift system for the courts. She's been giving further details about this policy.
Well yes, Evan, the last time the Judicial Service announced this shift system, it was the Judicial Secretary who signed a circular to judges. But the Chief Justice herself is explaining to the public why she had to do that. She gives an example of the Adenta High Court, for instance, where she said there are judges sitting there who are saddled with up to 500 cases for they themselves to consider, while there are cases in certain courts that are not even up to 30. And it is for this reason that the shift system is being piloted. And if it works well, who knows, they may extend it nationwide.
I've been gathering a lot of data from the courts to show me where there are intense blockages and where there isn't so much work. And have been thinking through how to release the places where there are blockages. And in gathering that data, I've discovered that there are courts where there are as many as 600 cases. There are courts where there are as many as 1,000 cases. Then there are courts where there are as few as 30-something cases. So those judges with 30-something cases are hardly doing any work. Not because they don't want to work, but because the people in the area they are working in are not bringing those many disputes to court. In Adenta, for instance, one high court judge has as many as 550 cases. One has 600 cases. Surely she cannot work effectively. The same for Amasaman. The same for, in fact, Tema has very high cases. Labadi, very high cases. Teshi, very high cases. And so it's become necessary to see how to relieve the load.
Mm. So there is the Chief Justice talking today directly to the media and laying out a strategy going forward, including taking her case directly to the public through the media. She says next week she'll be laying across her vision for the judiciary. I want to bring in the spokesperson for the Ghana Bar Association, Xavier Kuji, joins us on the line right now. Xavier, if I still have you on, this is a Chief Justice who wants to break from tradition and go directly to the people through the media in a form of public accountability. What's the GBA's position on this? And I know often we come to you and say you are often the mouthpiece for the judiciary. Now you're hearing the Chief Justice herself explaining issues, controversial issues, directly to the press.
Evan, good evening, and good evening to your listeners, and thank you for the opportunity. I think it's a welcome development. This is an indication of openness and transparency. And I believe this is the style of leadership. We can only applaud it and support it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
You know, the tradition has been that, you know, judges do not talk, especially a Chief Justice. You know, they do their talking when they are sitting in that bench together with your colleagues. What do you say to the tradition? Isn't she now possibly running the risk of opening herself up to further criticism?
I don't think so, because if the fact that judges do not talk does not mean that when it comes to administrative issues that they think that practical steps should be taken to explain the details of the transformations that they want to bring on board to the public by way of their vision and all that, they cannot do it. I don't think they should be doing anything wrong. For me, that would rather be a very good approach of disseminating information to the public. I am not too sure if she'll be doing this herself every time, because I know they have a communications unit. But just as every leader does, or most leaders do some of the time, if your communicators are even explaining things the way you expect, you can't once and for all come out yourself and do the explanation.
I mean, what about the timing of this? This is an election year. It's high stakes. Everything you say, you run the risk of placing yourself within the political arena because of the way it will be interpreted. Even if it is an innocuous comment, well-intentioned, should this be implemented this year or wait till the elections are over when the stakes are not as high?
Let me say implemented this year. What do you mean? Is this the shift system? Or
no, I mean this policy of being very open and going directly to the public. Next week, she's starting this with the very first time we have a Chief Justice going to lay out her vision to the public through the media. We've not seen that before. It's the commencement of a whole new approach to doing things. Should that start this year?
I don't think she has I don't think anybody can decide for her when to start. When to start is purely her prerogative. And as I said, everybody has a style of leadership. If this is the way she wants to go, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, because people would rather be happy that for the first time I have ever, we have a Chief Justice who has come on publicly to outline his or her policies for us to know. I think that we need a purpose for accountability purposes, so that people can see, this is what you told us. We're going for it. We are not seeing you going by what you said.
And what do you then say to, again, knowing what the contest is and the timing we're in, the elections approach, what do you say to politicians who often, as you know, find themselves pitched squarely against the judiciary? We've seen that play out in the last couple of weeks. Just before you came on, we're talking to the NDC's director of legal, again unhappy about explanations they've had today, still not satisfied at all. That definitely is a risk going forward, is it not? And from the GBA's point of view, and we had a very heated political season, high stakes, as I repeated earlier. Do you have any word for the politicians now that you have a Chief Justice coming up and being transparent and ready to engage a bit more?
Well, for the politician, all I can say is that they are given the opportunity to rule us. So they should also take their time and rule us. Or they are yearning to have the opportunity to rule us. They should take their time and do that. We cannot continue to politicize every single issue that goes on in this country, to the extent that a person has been appointed a chief justice, and for the first time or for a very long time in our history, that person has been bold enough to come out to outline her politics to all of us, and that will be an issue. And when it comes to exercising discretion, if you think that a public office holder like the chief justice has not exercised her discretion well, the constitution gives you the mandate to take steps. So I don't see why it should be difficult. So I would say that politicians, yes, we must be ruled, but they should take their time and do it well. Other than that, we will not be happy with them.
Thank you very much. That's Xavier Kujuda, is the PRO for the Ghana Bar Association. We're looking forward to this engagement with the country through the media next week, where the Chief Justice says she will be laying out her own vision. Newsnight in a minute.